This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, the sun is out, and there will be a pigskin playoff show later tonight. We're from the the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. What did Dale tell us a couple weeks ago? The Colonel.
He's the Colonel.
Yeah, it's based on, was it the Civil War surplus auction? Is that right?
I think so.
Open book test. All right, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. I wonder if he would have been running the board last night and we would have had Cardinal playoff baseball back in the day, and Jack Buck would have said, go crazy, folks, go crazy. He was probably on the board that night when we were running that Cardinal game against the Dodgers back in 1985, I believe. But good morning, everyone. The sun is out. Always an exciting time of year. Appreciate Dale Jones from the auction, our Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Again, our billboard sponsor, we say, of Sportsline. And we're really getting ready for an exciting night. You know, the speculation and conjecture of this, and I think for the radio station, you know, I want to say we may have been the first ever station in Illinois to host a playoff show, and it was in 1991, I think, was the first year, because Alito, we thought, was going to get into the playoffs at 6-3, and they didn't get into the playoffs.
And John O'Shea blew a gasket live on the air.
But the way that worked, I always love John, because when we first started, how the playoff pairings were released, a lot different than they are now, where it was like an old, like, modem, like, war game system. If you watch the 1980s Matthew Broderick movie, where you would call into a modem and they would release them. But even before that, you actually had to wait for the IHSA to basically fax them to you, and that's how they would release them. Or the one year John's brother Chuck was actually at the IHSA office and then relaying the information to us via phone. But we have a great guest today, Steve Susi from Friday Night Drive. Basically, he gives us the playoff pairings today, and it's over at 9:30 this
morning. He'll answer every question we have or you may have as the listener about the playoff field coming up. So he'll join us right around 9:30 or so on Sportsline this morning. Really fun. We had him on last year on this Saturday morning of the playoff projections. He is the guy in terms of, you know, IHSA football playoff bracket projection. He's the guy. He's the guru. That's what I call
him. Oh, yeah. No question about it. And he gets into a lot of the 2A bracket because, we're primarily covering the Rockets. We want, you know, five more. All we want is five more weeks of football, as we say. But he gets into that. And I thought it was interesting, not in terms of the north half of the bracket, but there are two big games today in 2A and 1A football that are going to impact the 1A South, because Belleville Altoff, who's the heavy favorite to, I think, win 1A, they potentially, they have a challenge today where it's kind of maybe a toss-up game. They're playing 6A Caitlin, who's pretty good. but people
sounds
saying,
like a 1A team yeah. playing a 6A team yeah. in week 9. Holy
with,
smokes.
What is it? They got a Oregon commit yeah. who's going to lose today, by the way.
Missouri.
Yeah. So they're, but some say it's a toss-up game. So that would knock Althoff potentially out of the number one seed in the south half of 1A. And then another big game involving 2A is Chester, who's had a great year in the southern half of the state. They're playing Waterloo. Chester, I love their nickname there, the Yellow Jackets, taking on Waterloo. And that is in the south half. That could impact kind of the lower half of 2A. And then Steve will get into it. There's kind of a little bit of a gray area about what the north-south split is today in 2A. That's
really interesting. That's with Moroa Forsyth, potentially north or south, where will they go? And then we'll talk with him, too, about where he's projecting Wilmington, the defending 2A state champion, of course, who really, I think, outside of Seneca last year, kind of just ran through everybody in the 2A playoffs. Of course, that's who Mercer County had to play in the first round a year ago. They're always on that 2A, 3A line. It's looked like this year throughout the season that they were going to be 2A, but as we've gotten further and further, it's more and more likely they're going to be in the 3A field. So we'll talk to him about where he thinks Wilmington will fall. To me right now, I think probably in 3A, but we know there's still some things that have to shake out today. So we'll get into all of that with Steve Soucy. Again, he'll join us right around 9:30 or so this morning on Sportsline, but we can talk, and we'll talk about the playoffs throughout the show, obviously throughout the day on the Pigskin Playoff Preview Show tonight, which gets underway at 7. Just always a fun night. I think this is probably, in terms of covering high school sports in the state, I think this is the most fun day of the IHSA calendar, at least for me. It's my favorite day.
Well, and there's no question in why it is, because there's 256 schools still alive, and that's why there's so much interest in the speculation and conjecture. More so than the final weekend of the season with the state championship games, because basically it's 16 schools that are just left and, you know, those fans and some of the surrounding communities. But this is kind of the big night, in what the IHSA, they've always got it right with how they do it with the playoff projections and leading up to it. And especially this year with it being the 50th year. Also, he gets into the 4 and 5 mm-hmm. teams.
Yeah, basically, which is interesting.
Should we wait for the listeners to listen to that?
I think so, because okay, Steve does a great job. And I do want to mention, when we talked about this, me and Monty did our broadcast last night. So last year, there were 6 4 and 5 teams that got into the postseason, including Nazareth, who went on to win the 5A state championship. I believe Quincy Notre Dame was 4 and 5, got in and won a playoff game. Sterling High School was 4 and 5 and won a playoff game last year, too. You know, that kind of, and he gets into it too, I think, with this about, you know, that kind of helps the argument to say maybe we need to look more at the strength of schedule in terms of teams to get in the playoffs. So that's something we'll get into with him as well. And it's, like I said, just a really fun night of playoff coverage. We'll preview our show for tonight real quickly. We'll be on at 7. The bracket reveal comes out in the 8 p.m. hour throughout the night. Well, we're going to talk with the View from the West, Greg Armstrong, in the 7 o'clock hour. Also on our panel tonight is me, you, Pat Lowers coming in, our NUIC correspondent from Fulton, and then Monty Smith will be in as well.
What a panel!
I know, we're going to have a really fun night on the air.
So John Hoshite's not going to be on tonight?
He's not going to be on. He wasn't on last year either because he was gone. But talk with Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves. We'll talk with Rock Ridge's opponent's head coach as well. We're going to have, I've reached out every coach in the Three Rivers Athletic Conferences qualified for the playoffs will be on our show tonight, as well as Ridgewood's Pat Elder in 8-man football. So that's who we'll talk to tonight.
Great. And
we'll break down the brackets. We'll reveal the brackets. So it's going to be a fun night. Again, we come on at 7. Hope you can join us tonight across the WRMJ airwaves.
All right. So can we begin with, like, ultimate loving positive news? By the way, I love the sign off. I was listening to Monty and you last night. Do you guys have like a 49-minute post game show last night?
It was a long post game. Yeah. Well, Coach Kenny, he did a lot with the kids post game, which he should have. So we were happy. And Monty love talking. So we had.
Who doesn't love listening to local high school sports on the radio when they're driving home from wherever? Right. That's what it's all about. But anyway, so I'll start. So I get to Rock Ridge last night, and Amy Dugelman gives me a packet of these thank you notes from third graders that listened to the game last week and acknowledged Coach Cook and myself. Man, that's just the best. So anyway, I love that. Love the vibe at Rock Ridge. I think the Rockets really are positioned to maybe make a pretty deep run.
I think so, too.
I think this team, I don't know, there's some moxie to this team. And I still say the ceiling's still up there to reach. And I like the established running game last night where Agent Zero, Tommy Sowards, and Jacob Freiermuth, who didn't play in the second half last week, had a big night last night, had 100 yards in the first half, so I love that. It really took care of business last night, up 27-0 at halftime, and that's, I think everyone was worried about maybe a letdown after the win over Monmouth-Roseville. And then, you know, credit to Monmouth-Roseville then last night, went up to Roscoe Eads and blanked Newman Central Catholic 21-0. So, again, about the positive vibe with the thank you notes and that from Rock Ridge. Love social media this morning and last night as it relates to Mercer County. Loved how the seniors went out, man. That's what it's, again, love that. I love the positivity on social media. They ended the season the right way.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm so happy for the kids, that senior class. They went out that way. And, you know, let's carry some momentum into the off season, maintain that positive attitude. And like I said, some of the different things that I saw posted on social media gives me great hope, I guess.
So we'll get to Mercer County later. Let's just quickly go over Rock Ridge's game. 48-10, like you said, just kind of they took care of business against a Hall team that I think we knew coming in they should beat pretty handily. 27-0 at halftime. Just what'd you see? To me, it looked like on the ground. The thing I like, you said Freiermuth and then Thomas Howard's both over 100 yards rushing. I think Colin Schweigen had another really efficient game too.
Yeah, seven carries for Jacob Freiermuth, 130 yards again. Remember, he did not play the second half, was injured last week, so it's good to see him with some impressive runs. And then Thomas Sowards, 14 carries, 110 yards. And then Colin Schweigen, 7 carries, 70 yards. Again, I get a little nervous when he runs into contact, and he likes to run that way. Big kid, it takes contact. And then passing-wise last night, Colin, 11 of 20 for 144 yards. And an interception that I think, I don't know if it was ruled an interception. The ball was in the receiver's hand, and then the kid from Hall kind of jarred it loose, so officially an interception. One touchdown for Schweigen, and then again spreading the ball out last night. Two catches for Baylen Lehmans, including a touchdown reception. Landon Wheatley, 4 catches for 38 yards. Owen Steele, 2 catches for 54 yards. The secret weapon, Chase Wheatley, 2 catches, 29 yards for Rock Ridge. 18 total first downs last night, 6 via passing, 10 via rushing, 1 via penalty. So again, 144 yards passing, 318 yards on the ground last night. I think only the Orion game did they rush for more yardage. 5 penalties for 25 yards. Again, that's an area you got to clean up a little bit. And I know Coach Graves, you always pick out things in games like that. Last night they did give up a kickoff return. You don't like that. The only other points for Hall, a field goal they kicked in the early in or about midway in the third quarter. Hall had about a 6-minute drive right out of the locker room at halftime. But Hall limited to just 5 first downs last night, 3 in the first half, 1 via passing, 3 via rushing, 1 via penalty. Limited to 38 yards passing and just 105 yards rushing. I tell you this, though, I do look at Hall Township's roster. They have a lot of kids. This is a team.
They're super young, too.
That has, I think, some personnel on the field that maybe they're a year away next year to maybe factor into to potentially being a playoff team. And, you know, they did beat Riverdale last week and basically knocked them out of playoff contention. And then I think the other big thing, and I talked to Coach Graves after the game last night, that, you know, with the exception of Ryan Lowell, which is a huge injury week two, they lose him for the season. They're in really good shape, I think, physically and health-wise heading into the postseason. And that's why I kind of really feel good about that situation heading into week 10. So, you know, took care of business last night, like I said, up 27-0 at halftime. And then I think led it 41-3 at one time and finished 48-10.
So 7-2, Rock Ridge finishes the regular season. Their losses coming to Newman Central Catholic and then Princeton, and you mentioned Colin Schweigen, I think another great year, kind of looking at his statistics. So last night he's over 1,700 passing yards now for the season, 17 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He's rushed for more than 600 yards on the year. So I think, I mean, there's a chance, depending on how far Rockridge goes in the postseason, he could pass 2,000 yards for the season, which would be a pretty impressive number for sure.
Well, and then just, you know, what, 2,300 multi-purpose yards? Yeah. I mean, for a sophomore.
Yeah, that's the thing people forget. Oh, my gosh.
And then you look at, like, I've talked about it this year about, you know, some of their players that as the season has progressed, like, I tell you, Liam Steele is a big playmaker on defense.
And him and Owen are both juniors. They'll be back next year, too.
And then Chase Wheatley, as the season has progressed, as they rotate their receiving core. And then I tell you, Trevor Dye has been a difference maker.
I love how he plays, Trevor Dye.
And the other kid, the other Dye brother, has had, I mean, Rockridge's defense has been stout all year. And they have, you know, and sometimes we take for granted, you don't mention Landon Bull all the time because you just take for granted how good he is. I mean, the amount of playmakers Rockridge has on the defensive side of the ball is just wow. And then
McKeag.
Yeah. And
Wheatley
up front. And then, you know, Owen Steele defensively last night against the run game of Spring Valley Hall. And still we were, and even I tell you, Coach Hassan last night, who I said, what did you think of that hit last week Owen Steele put on the Thompson kid? And this is a guy that has watched high-level high school football and coached high-level football. And he said something a lot like, that's a hit where you have to basically adjust your entire uniform from your helmet to your face mask to your shoulder pads to your belt to your knee pads. That's the type of hit Owen Steele put on. And that's... For me, I know the Rockridge offense is exciting with, you know, playmakers like Schweigen and Landon Wheatley and the guys that play there. But, man, defensively, that team just gets after it. And in the closing speed where you think there's a play that's going to develop, you know, in a matter of minutes, somebody from Rockridge is chasing down and closing the gap. And the only thing that aggravates me a little bit and I'm such a homer in this. I just, that Newman game still makes me so mad because in the first half, Rockridge had so many opportunities to extend that lead and just didn't do it, and it cost them in the end. So, again, you know, Newman's a quality program, and that you have to give them credit, and they find ways to win. But I really feel good about where the Rockets are at heading into Week 10 and the potential matchup. And I think they're going to have a tough first-round matchup, and we'll get into that, because when you play an NUIC team, if that's who they play, Eastland Pearl City, and the Rockets have had some history with them in the postseason, you ain't playing no slouch.
Right. Coming out of that late. Rockridge's postseason opponent, I think it's down to basically two, and I think Rockridge is going to be in the 8-9 game in the North. So they would either, I believe, most likely the scenario for me is they likely will host Eastland Pearl City, or they could potentially play at Seneca, who lost to Dupec last night. So I think those are the two most likely matchups for them. I think, like I said, though, the one that's more likely is Rockridge at home against Eastland Pearl City. The Rockets then would play likely into number one overall seed Farmington. We'll get more into that probably on our Pigskin show tonight, but that's a draw that I don't hate for Rockridge. I know Farmington's very good and they have a lot of numbers, but I guess this is getting off the beaten path a little bit. I just don't know how tough their schedule's been. Where I think Rockridge, if they play Farmington's schedule, they're very easily 9-0 as well. So we can get into all that later tonight on the Pigskin playoff preview. If we want to switch gears now to Mercer County.
Eagles win last night.
Golden Eagles win over Mendota 56-14. Mercer County trailed that game at the end of the first quarter 7-0 after turning the ball over 3 times in the first quarter. And then scored 56 points in a row. Mendota scored basically on the final play of the game to make it 56-14. But that game last night was interesting because the teams combined for 10 turnovers. There's 5 turnovers for both teams. So Mercer County turned over 5 times and still won 56-14. It was just a really fun game is how I describe it. Of course, there weren't playoff implications for either team in it. So for Mercer County especially, you could tell it was kind of all about just letting the kids have fun. They were doing a lot of, especially in the second half, they were doing a lot of different things where they were getting kids who don't play offense. Normally, like Jacob Kenny, who's had a great year as a defensive end, was playing running back in the second half, ended up scoring a touchdown. Mercer County's last offensive play of the season was a 44-yard touchdown run by Bodie Solomon, who's an offensive lineman and linebacker. That was awesome. He also blocked a punt and scored a touchdown, Solomon did, which was just, it was a great moment, and it was a great night in a season that, unfortunately, a lot of things went wrong outside of the kids' control. But last night, it felt like everything really went right, and the stars kind of aligned for those kids to have a lot of fun. You could tell on the sideline the kids were really enjoying themselves during the game, and it was just a night, and I kept saying this last night on our broadcast, those kids deserved a night like that with everything that's gone on this season and the last 2 weeks especially, and I'm glad they got it. It was a lot of fun watching kind of just the enjoyment level of kids playing a sport. That's what it's about at the end of the day, and that's what we got last night. And it added to it that Mercer County won, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again, you know, for last night. It's the same thing where the result, does it really matter? No. It was about the kids having fun, and they had fun last night. And they win 56-14, awesome end of the season for the Golden Eagles in a tough season, you know, on and off the field both. Awesome that they were able to get that done last night.
Yeah, and I saw somebody posted, and I loved it, and I can't remember who it was. Somebody shared it. Coach Kenny's message to Cale Braden, yeah, who didn't get to play at all this year. And those are like the moments to me that kind of mean the most because, you know, a kid like that didn't get to play and then to be recognized for still showing up at every game. You know, it's tough. You know, well, if you're a senior and you're not playing and you still show up to all the stuff.
And Coach Kenny, too, he did a great job in their post-game talk last night. That's why our post-game was so long. He brought up each individual senior that was graduating or that is graduating this year from Mercer County and talked about him for, you know, probably two or so minutes.
Great,
it was really cool. And like I said, it's been a difficult season. There's no doubt about it. And again, none of the kids' fault really for what's transpired. And I'm just super happy. Last night was just probably the most fun I've had all year because you just could feel the positivity and the energy and everything. It was infectious, I thought, last night. And it was a fun second, third, and fourth quarter for sure with the Golden Eagles kind of rolling at home and just everyone getting involved. Basically, every kid that was on the roster had some sort of role in that game last night in the finale of the season. It was a fun time covering the Golden Eagles this year. And I'll say this, too. One of the questions I asked Coach Kenny after the game was I just said, just walk us through what you thought of the first trip around the track, you know. And basically, I think the consensus is, one, it was a lot of fun with the teams that Mercer County got to finally play again, talking about Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Orion and Monmouth Roseville most notably. But he said it, you know, it's a different world. The physicality, and he said, you know, the biggest difference is in this league, you have to bring it every week. And if you don't, you're going to get beat. And he's like, you have to bring it every play. And if you don't, you're going to get beat where, and he said, and he's right, there are good programs and good teams in the Lincoln Trail too, but it's not to this caliber week in and week out that Mercer County played in the track this year. So I love the relationship with the league. It's just, it feels right. And some of those games this year just felt, and they were so fun and felt like big time games for Mercer County. I'm just excited for that relationship to continue to grow. We're going to get that in the winter, which will be fun. And then into the spring, too. And it's awesome that that's the conference home for Mercer County now.
Well, and just to kind of piggyback off that, and outside of football, so I was watching Tegan play, youngest daughter, played Sherrard in volleyball.
Oh, man, what a crowd.
Well, in the freshman game at 5 o'clock, I walk in there for that, and I'm like, there's this many people at a freshman game at 5 o'clock you didn't get the freshman crowd at the varsity matches and many of the Lincoln Trail Conference games. And I don't know if they can compare and contrast with the amount of concessions and how that's been different this year compared to other years.
Well, I forgot to mention this last week. So in the Rock Ridge-Mercer County game over at Rock Ridge, I believe, and I don't have the text in front of me, but I believe the Rock Ridge Booster Club that night made $6,800 in concessions, which is like triple the average normally. And I think they sold like $2,400 or so dollars in merchandise at their spirit shop. So, I mean, that's almost like $10,000 in one game.
It's a two-way street. The track wants Mirko in the league, too, because they know they have a good following and they're going to support the kids to whatever school they go. So there's no question. It was the right step. I know, are the results what we wanted in the Mercer County School District? No, but, we, you know, regroup, see what happens heading into the next year as it relates to football. But as you said, you know, you end on a positive
note. It'll
be
an interesting offseason for sure. There's a lot of uncertainty. We talked about that last week. Today, though, that's not what it's about. It's about looking ahead to week 10, I suppose. So we'll wrap up our first segment with some other scores around there, and then we'll get to Steve Susi here in a few short minutes. So Sherrard wraps up 2024 with a loss. The Tigers finished 2-7. 38-6, they fall to Riverdale on the road last night. And then Orion, man, they battled with Kewaunee. The Boilermakers were playing to get into the playoffs. They were 4-4 last night. Kewaunee ends up winning that game 44-34. But I'll say this about Orion. The trend of their season, I thought, man, they really got better. And their kids played hard to the end. And last night they were playing without Owen Voorhees, who broke his finger at practice this week. So they hung around with that Kewaunee team, which I think is good. And we're down, I think, by 4 points at one point in the fourth quarter. So I think Coach Filler deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with the group he has. You know, keeping them engaged, keeping them playing hard and competing, especially down the stretch. And Cale Filler last night, he broke the passing yardage career record earlier in the season. Last night he broke the passing touchdown career record at Orion. He has another full season to play, of course, next year. So congratulations to him on a, you know, outstanding 3 years so far, and no doubt he'll have another great year next year.
Well, and I think even when you look at their season, man, how they battled that night against Rock Ridge, so impressive. I think probably one of the games early in the season that was key for them, you know, they just give up, and they gave up a lot of points this year, but way too many points, because I thought maybe the Mercer County Orion game was going to be a kind of a 50-50 toss-up, but the Golden Eagles took that to them that night. And I think the other thing moving forward with Orion, you know, they got to figure out what's the answer for their numbers, or they got to get more kids out for football some way, somehow. And that's something that's going to have to be addressed in the offseason there too.
That's something we can talk about in the offseason as well. So Orion 2-7 in 2024, Sherrard 2-7, and Mercer County 4-5. None of those teams qualifying for the playoffs. And quickly, Riverdale 4-5 as well. They took huge strides this season, and I know a disappointing loss for them last week against Hall, where they didn't have the kicker, Aiden Sensabaugh, in that game, and they lose by 3 points last week. And he's automatic on PATs, and I believe they went 1-for-4 on PAT attempts in that game too, where they end up losing by 3-35.
Did he have a 32. Soccer commitment?
Yeah, soccer regional.
Man.
Yeah, they were in the regional.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, because I was talking to Coach Dierks, because we did the pregame interview with him for Riverdale this week, and he said, he's like, they were trying to see if they could switch the date, and Alleman tried, who was the host regional site for him, but they weren't able to do it with officials for the Friday regional
game.
Well,
and then he could have been a difference in the Kewaunee-Riverdale game.
Yeah, that's what he said, too, because he was hurt, yeah. So, yeah, and then, like you said earlier, Monmouth-Roseville, boy, a nice bounce-back win for them over Newman last night, 21-0, and Princeton took care of business over Erie Province, down 61-14.
You want, any other area scores stand out last
Farmington night? Farmington won 29-0. Now, their quarterback, Lane Wheeler,